We had for our scripture reading, Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the person Rahab. Rahab has given Bible students difficulties over the years simply because of who she was. In James chapter 2, which is where we'll begin, even though we'll be talking about Joshua 2, in James chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. James tells us that Rahab is an example of a working faith when she took the Israelite spies and she sent them out secretly. Notice that her action is listed as an example that is similar to Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. We talk about Abraham being the father of faith, and here Rahab is the other example that James decides to select. She's also listed in Hebrews chapter 11 among the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 31, it says, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish among those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Well, what causes all the problems? Well, the problem is that Rahab was a harlot, a prostitute. And when she hid those spies, she lied. In fact, just to point that out again, go back to Joshua chapter 2 for a moment. Joshua chapter 2, and look at starting at verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman said, had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was about time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and had hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Now, I've heard a lot of explanations for this. How is it that Rahab, who is a harlot, who lied to accomplish her ends, is listed as a hero of faith? Some people excuse it and say, well, lying is acceptable in certain situations. I've heard people say, well, sometimes you have to choose the lesser of two evils. Well, that doesn't sound very good. So sometimes people say, you have to choose the greater of two goods. But I want you to take notice for a moment. What was Rahab commended for? Why was she commended? See, James commends her for receiving the spies. for taking them in, and for sending them out a different way. The Hebrew writer commended her for welcoming the spies in peace. Neither one commends her lying to hide the spies. That particular event would not be commendable. Just as we would not expect the Bible to commend her because she was a harlot, even though both accounts mention that she was a harlot. But why is she listed as a hero of faith then? I want you to consider what she did. She heard stories of this nation that left Egyptian captivity by crossing a great sea on dry land. That occurred 40 years prior. Depending on her age, it might have occurred before she was even born. But she's heard stories of that. She's heard stories how two kings had fallen and their nations were destroyed trying to stop this nation that left Egypt. She knew that the whole city was in terror of the Israelites because they were coming their way. And what we got to keep in mind is she was not an Israelite. She did not see any of those miracles. They were only stories. And that's what is so fascinating about Rahab. She believed him. She believed in the God of the Israelites. She believed that that God was the one and only God. Take a look again at Joshua 2 and look at verse 11. The last part of that verse. Well, so when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man and any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Your God is God. This is from a woman who grew up in idolatry among heathens. She asked for their pledge to spare her family's household. That's interesting. She believed that their promise would save her family. She believed that Israelites actually kept their word. Before she even talked to these men about sparing her family, she was willing to go against her king too. You know, when the king demanded the men, and she sent the king and his men on a wild goose chase, true, she lied, but then she grew up in a pagan society, and she was a prostitute. She heard of the God of Israelites, but she had no opportunity to learn of God's laws, not yet. She's only heard rumors about this nation. So that doesn't excuse her lies or her harlotry, but it does explain her actions. But I want you to think for a moment, what would have happened to Rahab if the king discovered that she had hidden those spies? Most likely she would have died. In other words, here's what the level of her belief was. She believed to the point that she was willing to risk death for something that she heard about. And think about something else. She hung a scarlet cord from her window that all could see for, if you figure it out, it's about 18 days from her window. Now, scarlet's kind of a bright color. People probably noticed that there's a scarlet cord hanging out of Rahab's window. There was bound, probably somebody would ask questions about, why do you have that cord up there? And And her extended family had to be there when the city was conquered. Can you imagine? Why is everybody moving in with Rahab? What would have happened if any of them had told an authority before the city fell? Since she did not know where the army, when the army would come, her family had to be there for a while, for a couple weeks. She had no idea when they were going to show up. And now think also another thing we don't often think about. When the Israelites did come, we talk about that. They marched around Jericho silently for 6 days. You know, you're looking out your window and say, okay, here they come. There they go. They didn't say even a word. Next day, here they come again. There they go again. It'd be kind of trying on your faith, wouldn't it be? She did not know that on the seventh day the walls would fall down. What if she gave up? We've been talking about discipleship and what we have to do to imitate Christ. You know, faith has always been an expensive commitment. We talked about how much effort has to be put in, and we talked about that quite a bit today. Abraham, for instance, was willing to offer his only son, the son that was promised to him by God, solely because God asked it of him. Take a look at Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 12. He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This was the level of faith that Abraham had, that he would be willing to sacrifice his son because God said so. Not because Abraham had any clue as to why God said it. Or think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to be burnt rather than worship an idol. Take a look at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 17. Here's their answer to Nebuchadnezzar. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Think of the audacity of saying that to the king, the emperor. "We're not going to do it. God's going to rescue us, and even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your gods." How much faith did that take? It's one thing to say, "Hey, I'm confident God's going to rescue me." It's another thing saying, "I don't even care whether God does rescue me or not. I'm still not going to worship idols." Daniel was thrown in a den of lions because he continued to worship God despite the law to the contrary. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "And when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house." Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. "He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing so previously." Is our faith to the level in which we will continue to follow God, no matter what the country might decide? We get obsessed about some of the laws that are being passed recently. Do we change to match the law? Well, they made the law, I guess we've got to follow it. Or do we say, God's right, laws are wrong? and we make no difference in where we stand. Stephen was stoned to death for telling people that their true state before God. Take a look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, always resisting the Holy Spirit, you're doing just what your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. And you who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now, where was Stephen's compassion for his audience? Did he really expect them to listen to that? The answer is yes. See, Stephen was willing to say the truth, even though he knew it was going to be rejected. And it was an ugly truth, but it was still true. But he was willing to say it because he had faith in God. Now, when we talk about the level of commitment that's required by God, I want you to think about it. Would you be faithful if it meant your life? If you were confident that because of your faith, you would die? In Matthew 16, one of the verses we've been talking about in our Sunday morning class, and at other times as well, Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" We're told, take up our cross. If we're willing to forfeit our lives, we'll gain life. He's talking about eternal life. In fact, going back to Matthew 10, Jesus basically says nothing comes between us and God. Or we shouldn't allow anything to come between us and God. In Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 32, "Therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. For I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will become members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Now that's what is behind the idea of confession. When we talk about to become a Christian, you have to confess Christ. It says before men. It's not a one-time action that you do just before you get baptized. It's a life that you live. That you're willing, because you are a Christian, to put up with any ridicule, threats, beatings, even death. In Romans chapter 8, or chapter 10, starting with verse 8. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We look at the people that are in this Bible, they were willing to die for their faith. Take Paul as an example in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul knew his life was in jeopardy, where he was going. But he was still going, because he had work to do for Christ. Would you, could you hold on to your faith even to the point of death? See, that's what Jesus asked of us. In Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10. "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." I want you to take notice that none of these people had secret beliefs, but they had full confidence in God that led them to actions and statements that sometimes jeopardize their life. We go back to the Old Testament. Job is an example. He suffered losses that probably beyond most of our imaginations. Lost everything he owned. He lost his children. Disaster after disaster struck him. His friends accused him of secretly sinning against God. His wife urged him to curse God and die. And yet, I want you to take note in Job 13 and in verse 15, Job's statement. He says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." Now, Job has some misunderstandings. But I want you to see his faith. My expectations, my hope lies in God, even if God kills me. You know, Rahab had her flaws. But it was the power of her faith in a God she only heard about that saved her family from destruction. Going back to Joshua chapter 6, when they did conquer the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 17. "The city which shall be under a ban, it and all that is it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent." Jumping down to verse 21. "They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, 'Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her.' So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father, and her mother, and her brothers, and all that she had. And he also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. Now, you might not realize something also. It's easy to overlook. But take a look at Matthew chapter 1, and in verse 5. Matthew 1, verse 5, in the lineage of Jesus. It says, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the king. There are not too many women mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Ruth is one. Ruth married Boaz. We there's a whole book on that particular topic. Very favorite one to study about what marriage is about. But you see, Boaz, whom Ruth married, is the same Boaz who is Rahab's son. She changed. She became a part of Israel. She's a part of the lineage of Jesus. Why? Because her faith changed her and her family. You want to see what happened to Rahab? Look at how Boaz is described. What an honorable, respected man he was in the community. And his mother was Rahab, the one who was formerly a prostitute. A woman who had faith where you would not expect faith to be found. And the question we ought to ask ourselves is, will we have a faith like Rahab? So many times we want something shown to us. We want it proven. We want absolute guarantees. The Bible has been proven. It has been shown. The question is, do you believe what is there? If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf, can we leave that time for you? Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.